The following essay was originally aired in 2002. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, February 2nd, 4 p.m. Delta Ponds, Valley River area. Last week, Arctic air flooded into the northwest and briefly transformed the valley floor, covering it with a blanket of crystalline white snow. Today, high striated blue-black clouds trace the inflow of a more temperate green air mass. The sun breaks through periodically, casting shadows on the landscape with a provisional warm blue light. Mosquito-sized gnats dance in the balmy atmosphere as if spontaneously born upon fleeting rays of sunlight. Yellow-rumped warblers anxiously hawk insects from the bare limbs of an alder. Dormant willow branches have begun to turn crimson and yellow. Sap is starting to flow once again, prompting pregnant buds to swell up with perfect new leaves. The Willamette floodplain is saturated, and Delta ponds are overfilled. A freshet has erupted across the gravel path, draining excess water from the slightly higher western pond. Canada geese sleep through the afternoon, standing on one leg, with heads curled gracefully back against their body and bills tucked beneath folded wings. Wintering waterfowl have reached their greatest local diversity. The number of species coexisting in this small space is impressive. Mallards, gadwall, pintails, northern shovelers, lesser scaup, ringnecks, buffleheads, coots, pied-billed grebes, wood ducks, and American widgeon dabble and dive together in the calm, cool waters of the ponds. A Eurasian widgeon has found its way here from Siberia. This species is not known to breed in North America, but erratically wanders to the west coast in the winter. Great blue herons have begun to gather and pair off in the small rookery on the east side of the busy highway that cuts through the ponds. A revolving cast of about 10 amorous birds attends to a half dozen platform stick nests that have survived from last year. Anchored precariously, 80 feet above the ground in the leafless branches of shoreline cottonwoods, these nests have supported several generations of herons. For now, they are completely exposed. In a few weeks, when the trees leaf out, the rookery will be hidden, except for an alabaster stain trailing downward from each nest. The chasm of awareness between the nesting birds and the thousands of passing commuters is so great that both factions seem unaware and unaffected by each other's movements. These herons are magnificent in their full breeding regalia. Gray-blue with billowing nuptial plumes cascading down their neck and back, they display bright orange-brown marks on their shoulders and legs and a long, thin black head plume that, when erect, creates a frighteningly bizarre affectation. Standing almost 4 feet tall with long legs and a dagger-like bill, great blues are easily the largest heron in North America. A radio tower rises several hundred feet above the northern shoreline of the ponds. It is painted red and white and topped with a flashing light to warn off low-flying aircraft. Very near the top, two barely visible dots attract my attention. Powerful magnification reveals two peregrine falcons, one above the other, staring down at the ponds, one rung apart on the tower. Formerly known as duck hawks, these predators are among the world's fastest birds. In a power dive, they fall like judgment upon their prey. They have been clocked in excess of 200 miles per hour. Although they are found on 6 continents, peregrine falcons are uncommon in most areas. Over the last 50 years, they have been seriously endangered and eliminated in many parts of their former range due to the effects of DDT and other pesticides. I look back at the falcons through my scope. Only one remains. As I watch, the lingering bird confidently leans forward, unfolds its wings, and launches itself into the air. I follow its flight with binoculars. As it moves away from the tower, it tucks its wings against its body and plunges into an accelerated freefall. The nearby tower provides a kind of scale with which I can judge its progress. I have never seen a bird move so rapidly through the air. Mount Pisgah Arboretum is sponsoring a Winter Wonders Family Walk this Sunday, February 8th, from noon to 2 p.m. Find out about all kinds of fascinating critters, from slugs and bugs to trees and shrubs. Learn why they can't always be easily found this time of year and where they might be hiding. Nature guide Tom Bettman leads this fun walk for all ages. Meet at the Arboretum Visitor Center, rain or shine. There's a small fee for non-members. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, COONEY, at MSN.com.